This is Rochester Speaks, and coming off of October as Mental Health Awareness Month, we thought it would be extremely relevant to bring on a local expert in psychiatry and with a ton of experience. Dr. Nitin Krishna is here with us. He has run mental health practices across the country in places like Maryland and now here in the Rochester area. He is at Penfield Psychiatry. Dr. Krishna, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it. I'm very honored to be here. And through my work, if I can touch some lives and help people, I'd be very happy and humbled. Thank you.
Absolutely. And it's such an important topic right now, especially with so many suffering from depression. One thing that we talked about, I know you have a wide variety of expertise, but one thing that we talked about was your research on depression. And depression can feel like such a hopeless, debilitating disease. But why should patients who are struggling with depression have some hope about future treatments?
Absolutely, absolutely. So first of all, I think, you know, there has definitely been an increase in the, you know, overall mental health statistics across the nation and globally, actually, if you look at post-pandemic, when we came out of pandemic, it you know, the data shows that there has been an increase in, you know, that depression, you know, depression and anxiety kind of go together. There is an increased subjective awareness of depression, anxiety, and then the most important sequelae of depression that we try to avoid is the suicidality, not wanting to be around, and the eventual mortality. So, you know, more recently, based on self-reported a depression questionnaire done by the, you know, Census Bureau around 2020, 42% of U.S. population, you know, had some form of anxiety and depression disorder, which was a jump from you know, May of 2020, which was you know, the statistics were 30%. So there's definitely an increased awareness of depression. Which is also more of more concerning is that, you know, even before COVID, 19% of adults experienced depression or some sort of a mental health struggle, but COVID kind of really slingshot that into very high seat of like high levels of awareness. There is also like you know, trends of increased you know, depression and suicidality in youth, which is something that we take very seriously. 60% of youth, you know, reported some form of dysphoria. You know, and what is really staggering is that 1 in 3 are going untreated, especially these younger adults, and they, it really like affects their outcome in school and academics and social outcomes. So why is it important that we know these facts and what are the things that we could do? As just before the coming on to the show, we were talking about how depression, you know, awareness, insight is a big, big factor. And you know, like knowing what to look out for, what are the symptoms of depression. And depression doesn't happen like it doesn't happen in a split. It just is it's something that evolves and yeah, and if it goes untreated, it becomes severe enough to cause some of the morbidity and mortality we talked about, which is suicide, loss of functioning, and just one becomes stuck in this inertia, right? I've heard patients who tell me that they are very active, they are very productive, but when depression hits them, they just get stuck in their couch and, you know, mailman or Amazon is ringing the bell and they just don't want to get up and open the door. The dishes are piling up, the laundry, like it's just, and they're aware. They're aware of that and they're just, they brood about it, but they're unable to overcome. It just becomes like a quicksand. You keep getting into this darker places and eventually, I mean, subjectively, patients tell me the wall closes in, they feel like, they're kind of like being surrounded by walls that are closing in, and the only way out to think of is initially they would think that I wish I could be in a car accident and I could be dead and be okay with it, but that slowly evolves into a plan, and that's what all of us professionals, you know, mental health professionals. And I'm really very happy and proud that our school system is such an amazing place where they're teaching a lot about mental health. You know, I have two little kids, you know, my daughter and my son. You know, when I look at my own upbringing, I don't think I would have identified depression when I was growing up. But my son is not hesitant to ask for help. You know, he says, I have resentment, or, you know, I have, you know, I need to speak to somebody. So, which is really remarkable. The U.S. Policies have allowed the school system to inform the kids about mental health. So, which shows us that information and insight into one's struggle empowers one to overcome that. How do you overcome depression? Is a psychosocial intervention, which is a combination of medication. It's a combination of your social adaptation to your situation, and really and discipline. And a lot of times, and there's so many clients I see, they just want to take a pill and the depression to go away. I just wish I had that pill. You know, even the best of the best treatment gets you slightly over the halfway mark. And what about the other half? It's just us, you know, doing the grind. I am super excited because our field is really at the cusp of innovation. We ourselves are at Penfield Psychiatry, are a multidisciplinary mental health group. We have a lot of like prescribers who prescribe medications. We have a lot of therapists who do psychotherapy. We have psychologists who do assessments. And we have interventional psychiatry, which is what is very exciting. In addition to medications and therapy, there are options that can help one overcome depression rather quickly. I am currently managing a treatment called as esketamine or Spravato, which is a rapid-acting antidepressant. Conventional medications take about 8 weeks for our body to appreciate the medication and change the neurochemical chemistry in the brain. That's a long time for somebody who's stuck in the trenches, right? And I always thought, my God, I mean, how can I tell my client who's tearful to come back 8 weeks after I start the treatment? That's a lot of time. But with esketamine or Spravato, it's such a revolutionary disruption that I can instill hope into my clients that you would be better off within a day. Like you could see improvement or light at the end of the tunnel within a few hours. So these are like, you know, these are like very powerful agents that allows one to, you know, be rescued from this darkness to a better place rather quickly.
Is there a way to describe, I know, you know, you have the expertise, so I don't know if to the average listener, any of this would make sense, but is there a way to describe kind of how that works? Because that's absolutely revolutionary.
Absolutely. So it all started, I think, you know, around 2010 or earlier. A group of researchers recognized, you know, they recognized a compound that pretty much avoided dysphoria or depression. I think, if I am not mistaken, it was some sort of a formulation in a cough syrup, and they were. Reviewing a group of people who were using cough syrup, and they saw that their outcome for depression was much different than the others. And slowly that kind of led to, I think it was a group of really brave clinicians who started dabbling with ketamine, because the entity moiety in the cough syrup had some you know, pharmacological resemblance with ketamine. And ketamine, as we all know, is an intravenous anesthetic that is used for general anesthesia, and you know that it really started, and it's approved. We all know how ketamine works and what are the you know all the you know psychopharmacological you know persona of ketamine. This group of doctors had anesthesiologists who helped them set up ketamine clinic, where they would bring patients who were extremely depressed, they would, you know, they would put up an IV bag, they'd infuse ketamine into it, much lower doses compared to general anesthesia, almost like, you know, 0.5 milligrams per kilogram. So if I am a, you know, 80 kilogram person, I would probably be given like 40 milligrams of ketamine in a normal saline or whatever the concoction over 40 minutes to an hour, and they monitored blood pressure and that became the ketamine clinics. But you contrast to the operating room, they used much higher doses. They were using 2 milligrams per kilogram. So for somebody like me, I would probably, for anesthesia, like for maybe somebody was repairing my leg, it would be like 160 milligrams. So you can compare, it is such a low dose compared to normal general anesthetic dose. And you know, we all have been to surgery, same day surgeries. You know, you go in, you don't eat anything. You go to pre-op, then you get the surgery done, then you get pushed to post-op, and then somebody drives you home and you recover. So that was the, you know, that's the procedure when you're given 2 milligrams per kilogram. But we were able to appreciate like much lower doses, micro, like the smaller doses of the same compound improved depression in few hours, 2 to 3 hours, 6 hours. It was a remarkable revolution on how one was able to pull these people who were stuck in this darkness of depression for so long by these infusion clinics. It's still very popular. I think it's you know, a lot of places have it. The only thing that I dislike about that is that it's not covered by insurance, right? What is the point of me not being depressed if I have to spend $500 to $1,000 on my treatment? Again, the risk versus benefit, if it's the right time, the cost is not a variable. But if I have to keep doing it, I do feel that is, you know, you would end up having another problem of financial burden. So Spravato evolved out of this serendipitous discovery of ketamine being a rapid-acting antidepressant, which is still like done like off-label. Like FDA never came out and said ketamine is approved for depression. But, you know, it is acceptable. There's so much evidence-based literature that it's not frowned upon, or you wouldn't be audited. It is an alternative off-label use. But for a practitioner like myself, a psychiatrist, it is a lot of infrastructure that I cannot have, right? IV, you know, setting up an IV, a phlebotomist, having a crash cart if somebody has an adverse reaction or a hypertensive urgency. A lot of I consider myself a unique psychiatrist. Unlike my colleagues, I am very risk. I take risk. I'm an entrepreneur. Majority of my colleagues are complete opposite of me. They're risk aversive. They follow the protocol. I'm not saying I don't follow protocol, but you know, setting up an IV clinic in a psychiatrist's office is very hard to fathom. You know, Janssen being Janssen, they were able to identify an isomer of ketamine, meaning a hydroxy bond was on the left side instead of the right side. So same compound, but it's an isomer of ketamine. They were able to get the patent, and then Janssen being Janssen, they thought, their business development thought, like, even if we do esketamine, which is the isomer of ketamine, hanging a IV bag in a psychiatrist would not be a good business sense. So they were able to formulate a nasal mist, which is just like, you know, Flonase. You just hold it in your hand and you're able to deliver a dose of the medication. You kind of administer the medication in both the nostrils. And fast forward to today, it's a very popular rescue treatment for depression, meaning augmented. It's an augmentation to existing treatment. The patient still has to be on an antidepressant and therapy. Spravato allows you, or esketamine allows you as an augmenting strategy to pull you out of treatment-resistant depression. I didn't mention what is treatment-resistant depression, so let me just go back. What is treatment-resistant depression is despite being on the standard care, which is medication and therapy, you still carry the burden of depression, meaning you still feel dragged by the weight of depression. That is treatment resistant depression, is that despite being on adequate dose and duration of medication and therapy, when we do a self questionnaire, your symptoms are moderate to severe symptoms. That means despite being on treatment, you still are experiencing the symptoms. So it's not completely cleared. So esketamine, Spravato, is an FDA approved drug as an augmenting strategy for treatment resistant depression.
FenfieldPsych.com. Definitely check that out. And Dr. Krishna, there's hope, and we appreciate professionals like you who are doing so much work behind the scenes. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I can, if I'm able to, help somebody through this podcast and have them take the right action, we'd be very happy. And it's not just us. There are many other really great clinics who do this. So if you guys are closer to those clinics, please, it doesn't matter where you go, but what matters is you take the first step. Even the UFR and Strong, all of these places offer these. So it doesn't matter where you go, but what it matters is you take that action. The first step is seeking out for help.